Welcome to the Marty and Laura Show. We're so excited to be joining you. We're here to talk about your dogs, your cats, and maybe even some small critters. Anything you've got a question?
We've got answers for all of it.
The Marty and Laura Show is brought to you by Veterinary Village. With locations throughout Wisconsin, Veterinary Village is dedicated to enhancing the quality of animal and human lives today and into the future.
Welcome to the Marty and Laura Show. I am your host. I am Laura Reeves, and this is my dear friend,
Marty Greer.
There you go. And we have a special guest with us today. His name is Simba. He is a 9-week-old wire hair puppy in the crate next to me, so you might hear from him. You should not be alarmed. German wire-haired pointer.
Right, but there are other wire-haired coated breeds as well.
It's true.
I hate to break it to you, Laura, but there are dachshunds and there are...
I know.
You know, it's not...
There's wire-haired Beechless, for Pete's sake. There's wire-haired Iberian hounds.
Yes, there's a lot. So let's be clear that we...
Being specific, German wire-haired pointer. His name is Scotian Saddle Ruck Reflection because he is... from a long line of my wire hair pointers. Yes, you are. And the Lion King was the theme of the litter. And so there's the scene in Lion King when Simba, which is his name, looks in the reflecting pool and sees Mufasa and tells him, remember who you are. And so...
Oh, I love that. That's a great name.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That speaks to my heart.
It spoke to my heart because the generations of dogs behind him, he absolutely is carrying all that forward. He is a reflection of those generations.
Cool.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. He's a cool little dude, but he may pipe up and share opinions with us from time to time. So audience members, do not believe that I'm doing anything horrible. He's just here entertaining himself and supervising me.
Perhaps a little bored, yeah.
Yeah, I could be a little bit bored. And like your average bored toddler, sometimes they vocalize.
Yeah, I know. If you watch all those videos now on Facebook, I can't tell anymore what's real and what's AI. But if you start looking at some of these toddler things with dogs, they're actually pretty funny, but I'm unclear. So I am not a sophisticated enough viewer to be able to distinguish. Right. I hope somebody else out there can.
Some people are, because I hear about it if there's any mistakes. But yes, it's a thing.
Yes.
And we've been traveling again, but here we are. It's beautiful springtime in both Wisconsin and Oregon. So that's very exciting for all of us as we're having our lovely rebirth and rejuvenation of the springtime. Makes us all happy. At least it makes me happy.
Indeed. Yeah, it's... Easter is my favorite holiday. I think a lot of people prefer Christmas or Halloween. Easter is my favorite holiday because it is the symbol of new birth and new life. And that's what I spend my life doing. Today is Easter, if you know, that we're recording.
That we're recording.
And I did a TCI breeding today because it was frozen semen and this was the day. And it symbolizes everything that I do is the start of
new life.
And I love it.
Yeah. Absolutely. Okay. So today we are talking about, for our listeners, we're talking about dentals. This was a listener request that people wanted to know about. We've talked about brushing your dog's teeth and why it's important. But I think a little bit deeper dive was the request from this listener about, you know, putting your dog under anesthesia to have their teeth cleaned and why you do that and how that works and all of those things. So walk us through that, Marty, because Easter eggs, cavities in your teeth. I don't know. I don't know what the connection is, but there it is.
But it's a great question because a lot of people don't really understand why they have to put them under anesthesia, or they're afraid of anesthesia, or their neighbor's dog didn't do well, or, you know, a multitude of other things. And a lot of people just want to scrape the teeth. They just want to take one of those little metal pieces and scrape the teeth. And in reality, that actually accelerates the accumulation of tartar. You can't get up under the gum line. If there's a loose tooth or a tooth that's diseased, you can't x-ray it and extract it. So the reality is doing a dental cleaning without anesthesia on a dog or a cat is just not a feasible option. And there are places that advertise that they do it, but it's not done well, and it's not done with the endorsement of most veterinarians and veterinary dental specialists. So I think we need to start with that basic premise. When I go to the dentist, I'm not a fan. You know, they don't have to sedate me, but I'm not a fan.
I have to be sedated just
I have a friend that had, she's passed now, but she had MS. And one day she was in the dental chair and was gripping the chair arm so hard that when she got up, the arm of the chair was still in her hand as she stepped away from the chair and didn't realize it because her MS had caused her to have numbness. And so she didn't identify the fact that she was doing that. But that does give you an idea of how a lot of people feel about the dentist. It's not a happy situation. Yeah.
No, dentists and I are not friends. I do actually have to have sedation. So there's that.
Yeah. And that's not unreasonable. I mean, your dog is not going to allow us to fully evaluate their mouth with their mouth open. They're not going to allow us to probe under the gum lines and see how deep the pockets are. They're not going to allow us to clean into those pockets. They're not going to hold that little bite wing back in the back of your mouth when you have to have x-rays taken. So it just isn't a thing. And then once you get done cleaning the teeth and we have to polish them with that stuff that you get out of the chair and it feels like they used Comet in your mouth because it's gritty profi paste and that's to smooth the edges.
I'm low key trying not to throw up right now. So just
well, I'll have this thing for you here in a second.
Great. But
they do have to polish your teeth. And I used to work for a veterinarian who used Comet, in reality used Comet, didn't use the dental profi paste on dogs and cats for their dental cleaning. So that polishing then smooths out the edges of the teeth that the ultrasonic cleaner and the scaling does that your dental hygienist does on your tooth so that the tooth surface is smooth and you are not going to accumulate tartar as quickly. And so when people do that hand scaling of the teeth, they actually make the teeth worse, not better. Mm-hmm. So I want to tell you, I learned something a few years ago about dentistry on the human side that is very applicable to what you're just telling me now. And that's, you know, when they put those bite wings in the back and you have to bite down on them, those little winged x-rays, I have a very, very difficult time with those. I have a relatively small arcade in my mouth in spite of the fact that I talk a lot. My mouth is big, but not in that way. So I have a hard time with that. And one of my dental hygienists looked at me, pushed her chair back away from my chair, grabbed a package of salt, those little salt packets like you get at the restaurants or for your popcorn, and put it in my mouth and then put the bite wing x-ray unit in and have me bite down. And that will alleviate you from having that gag reflex. I don't know why it won't work on a dog because you still can't get them to bite down and sit still when you do this. And honestly, if the dog bites into the plate that we take the x-rays with, it causes $4,000 or $5,000 worth of damage. So that's not really a thing that's going to help dogs.
Right.
But honestly, I don't go to the dentist without a pocket full of those little salt things. I go to McDonald's on my way and pop them in my pocket. And then if my hygienist doesn't have any, I'm good to go.
Wow. Okay. I am just taking this all in and trying not to, like, you know, open up my entire life to y'all out there in podcast land.
But you know, we don't all need to know everything, but I will tell you that for the 10% or whatever it is of the people that have that reflex, then that will help you. So don't go to the dentist without your salt. All right. So getting back to the dogs and the cats, we have to do a thorough exam. And if you've ever tried to look in your, like, if your dog grabs something when you're out on a walk and you try and fish it back out of their mouth, you have some inkling of how difficult that is. You know, the faster you run toward them to take something out of the mouth, the faster they swallow it. So you know how hard it is to look in their mouth. And if you go to the veterinarian and they try to open the dog's mouth, you get one chance. I have my staff position one hand on each ear, light positioned over the back of their throat. Everybody's ready to go. And you get 1/8 of a second quick look down into their back of their throat, under the tongue, and, you know, all those things before the dog says, you are not doing that to me ever again.
No.
So getting a thorough oral exam, it's not possible without sedation and or anesthesia. And unfortunately, it's a thing. So in advance of the time that dental cleanings are done, most practices will do blood work to make sure that your pet has healthy kidneys, healthy liver, their blood count's okay, their platelets are okay, that they're going to tolerate anesthesia well. In our practice, in a lot of practices, we also don't anesthetize anybody without an ECG or an EKG before they're put under. And that's for every single sedative procedure that we do in our practice, and you can certainly talk to your veterinarian if you're uncomfortable about your pet's anesthesia and see if that's an option for you or what they can do. You know, for instance, if your dog has significant heart disease or your cat has significant heart disease or murmur or whatever, should you see a cardiologist before the patient is anesthetized to make sure that they're going to tolerate it well? And will the cardiologist then make specific recommendations for anesthetic agents that are safer? Because there are some. There are definitely drugs that are unsafe for these patients that have cardiac disease, and there are anesthetic agents that are relatively safe. is there ever a time that you can be guaranteed that anesthesia is 100% safe? And the answer is no, there isn't. But I will tell you that the degree of dental disease and the pain and the infection that accompanies a lot of these pets' dental disease is more than offset by the fact that when they wake up from their dental cleaning, that you have extracted the teeth that were diseased and needed to come out, that you've cleaned the ones that can be saved, and that within 48 hours or 72 hours, that dog or cat is going to be feeling so much better. And I have clients that tell me this all the time. They'll come back in and they'll say, I don't know why I waited so long to do this. Right. And that's because you're afraid. And veterinarians understand that.
I've been afraid. I've had old dogs with bad teeth that I just am like, they'll die. I can't do it. Like, I understand. Yeah.
I do too. And so when my corgi turned 16 back in January, she had her 16th birthday on January 16th. My husband put up a picture of her golden birthday on Facebook. Where I come from in Nebraska, we don't do golden birthdays, but they do here in Wisconsin. So he put up pictures of her golden birthday, and he put up pictures of when she was a puppy and when she had puppies and all this stuff. And at 16, I anesthetized her, my personal dog, and did a dental cleaning, and it just wasn't okay for her to continue to live with the amount of dental disease that she had. And I just felt like it really had to be done. So I'm not just talking about this theoretically. I'm talking about this for your pet. I'm talking about what I do with mine as well. So I think that's an important thing for you to know is have blood work done, ask if you can have an ECG done. There's a couple of other things that you can do. You can talk to your veterinarian before they anesthetize your patient with what kind of anesthetic agents they're going to use. And there are some categories of drugs that are not as safe. They tend to be the alpha-2 adrenergics, and those tend not to be as safe for the older patients. So we use Alfaxin or propofol. So talk to them about that. Talk to them about post-op pain management. Talk to them about post-op meropotent, which is Serenia, which really makes them a lot more comfortable when they wake up. It's an anti-nausea drug, but they just feel a ton better when they wake up and go home that night. They're a lot more likely to be bouncing around the house that evening and the next day. And this is a pet peeve that I have, and I'm just going to share this with all of our listeners, and I did this last week when we did our seminar, is when your pet is anesthetized for a dental cleaning, they put a tube in their trachea to protect their airway so that if they vomit, it doesn't get aspirated, so that if fluid, when you're doing the dental cleaning, gets down in the back of their throat, that it gets blocked, it doesn't go down, and that they get gas and oxygen, the anesthetic agent and the oxygen during the procedure. What I will tell you is that veterinary technicians have been trained by the doctors that they work for in most cases to keep the endotracheal tube, which is meant to be a one-use tube. On the human side, it's one use. And clean it, disinfect it, and use it on patient after patient after patient after patient. And that's concerning to me because it may have a disinfectant in it that's irritating to the airway. It may not be thoroughly disinfected. Say the dog ahead of you had an upper respiratory infection and your dog goes home and gets it from the tube. Endotracheal tubes cost under $2 per tube. And if you sit down with your veterinarian and your veterinary technician before the day that you have your dental cleaning, don't try and do this the morning of because you're going to throw them into a dither. Make an appointment, go in, take the time to do this. Say, I want to discuss all of these things. I want to talk about anesthesia, EKG, which anesthetic you're going to use. And I want to talk about fluids. I want to talk about Serenia. I want to talk about the tube you put in my pet's trachea. I will pay you an extra $5 if you will give a new tube to my dog because they're still going to make $3 on the tube. So in my personal opinion, it is the ethical thing to do is to use endotracheal tubes once. Now, I will tell you that's probably an opinion held by less than 1% of veterinarians. So don't be shocked.
Serious.
I know. Don't be shocked.
Are if your you veterinarian serious? I mean, like, wow. Okay.
Yeah. It's unfortunate, but it's the way we were trained. And veterinarians are pretty resourceful, and we were trained to be able to reuse things. But at this point in the economy, a $2, we didn't have much of a choice during COVID because our supplies were so limited. But we've been out of COVID now for the last 5 years. So the reality is your veterinarian is not suffering from a shortage of endotracheal tube availability. And if you say to them, here's $5, I would like you to give a brand new tube to my dog or my cat. Here's a $5 bill to compensate you for that. Would you please do that? I think that's fair. So those are the things that you should know in advance is have an honest conversation, spend the time, spend the money, go in, have this all figured out, talk about all the stuff. And every person that comes in thinks that their dog or their breed handles anesthesia differently than every other. Well, there are definitely breed differences.
I was going to say,
It's typically based on their body fat, things like the sighthounds tend to have less body fat, so they metabolize drugs differently. Certain breeds certainly do. But veterinarians in general give a drug to effect, not just here's the amount I'm going to just pound it in. they give it slowly enough as they're putting the pet under anesthesia to only give the amount that they need. So they typically are not going to overdose your dog. But there are definitely differences in how dogs tolerate different anesthetic agents. And you should have this conversation is, I would like you to use something you're comfortable with, but I would also like it to be something that's short acting, that's reversible, that, you know, some of those things that are important discussions to have so that it's not at the last minute. I have not had good experiences with some of the reversible anesthetic agents. That's my personal opinion. And I think a lot of the older dogs with cardiac disease don't do as well on those. So I personally use only alfaxin and propofol as our induction agents, and then we switch over to gas. So speak to your veterinary clinic about what they're going to use.
Doggett simplifies the puppy buying journey by connecting families with the perfect breed and responsible, health-verified breeders. They are the only breeder marketplace that verifies health clearances and responsible breeding practices. Through their personalized puppy matcher tool and matchmaker services, they educate and guide buyers every step of the way, ensuring a seamless process and a perfect match for their lifestyle. From initial breed consultation to introductions with top breeders, Doggett makes responsible puppy ownership easy and stress-free.
Generally, correct me if I'm wrong, generally speaking, these pets are under general anesthesia, not just a sedative. Yeah. And that's, I just want to make sure that people are aware.
Yes.
They're not just giving it a little nappy.
Nope. They should have an IV catheter. They should have IV fluids. They should have a monitor. They should have a technician monitoring them. They should have a tube in their trachea. They should have oxygen and gas anesthesia as needed. So all those things should be happening for the safest anesthetic procedure that you can have. And then once they're under, then we can start saying, okay, does your pet's disease merit full mouth x-rays or one individual tooth x-ray? How much does that cost? What do you do if you find diseased, broken, or loose teeth? Do you extract everything? Do you extract some of them? Will you contact me during the procedure and say, okay, this tooth is fractured, but I'm not sure we have to take it out or it does have to come out? I am of the opinion that most teeth, if we can leave them, should be left, but not if they're loose. But there are veterinarians who, if there's any kind of a fracture to the tooth, their automatic response is to extract it. So that's another conversation to have before your pet's under anesthesias. Right. What is your philosophy? How do you make these decisions? Will you be able to contact me? Am I going to be available? Are you going to be able to talk to me when you call? Is it going to be a technician? How are we making those decisions? And there are some clinics now that are putting the pets under, doing the dental cleaning, taking x-rays, waking the pet up and having you come back for a second anesthetic agent when they have figured out how much pathology there is and how many extractions have to be done. And I am of the opinion that that's not a good idea because I don't want to be putting my pet under anesthesia additional times. I'd rather have one longer period than two short periods. But I feel like anesthesia is like flying on an airplane. Every time you go up and every time you go down, there's a risk. When you're at cruising altitude, it typically isn't so risky. So I believe, in my opinion, that the fewer times they're under, the better. But I am not necessarily the only person with an opinion. There are people who have the other opinion that say, we don't know how long to schedule our staff and how many surgeries we can do that day without knowing how much disease there is in your dog's mouth or your cat's mouth. So we're going to anesthetize them, x-ray them, wake them up. We'll find out if that's what they're going to do in advance.
And that's a thing to know.
It is. And if that's what they do and you're okay with it, okay. If that's not something you're okay with, then you need to see if there's another person that can do it. And there are veterinary dentists, there are specialists that do this stuff, often at universities, often in private practices, often at big referral centers. And some of these people are very, very talented dentists. So they can do some amazing reconstruction. They can do root canals. They can do all kinds of cool
things. That was my next question is, because I don't think we've even done this on Pure Dog Talk, done a deep dive on some of the dental reconstruction stuff. And I had a doggy dentist on and didn't even get this far. So talk a little bit about some of that, because I think it's really amazing what can be done.
Yeah, for many years we've been able to do root canals. The first time that I had a dog with a jaw fracture, I actually had an oral surgeon, a human oral surgeon, come to my practice and help because that was back before we had veterinary dentists. I've been in practice that long that veterinary dentistry wasn't a specialty then. But there are specialists that can do reconstruction, that can do orthodontics, that can move teeth, that can do things without extractions, that can restore teeth with root canals. There's truly an amazing number of things that can be done. So if your pet has has a lot of dental disease, or it's a working dog that has to have all of its teeth.
Right.
For instance, the police dogs that have to have a full bite if they're going to be out doing bite work, you know, apprehending suspects on the run, your German Shepherd or your Malinois needs to have all of its teeth to grab the guy that's trying to climb over the fence, getting away from the police officer, right? Working dogs in the AKC events need to have all of their teeth. So there are certainly things that these veterinary dentists can do that are more advanced, more sophisticated. They can do restorations, they can do bondings, they can do moving teeth. They can do some really cool stuff. Young puppies, we'll see a fair number of young puppies that have abnormalities in their bites. And if you can address those when they're young, there are certainly talented practitioners that aren't board certified veterinary dentists that can do a lot of these things. But if you're getting beyond what your clinic is able to do and they say, well, we're just going to extract everything and you're not comfortable with that, then ask if you can have a referral or find somebody that can do a referral for you to see somebody that's able to do more advanced dental procedures and make sure that they are a veterinary dentist, because they are definitely out there if your veterinarian is not providing you the level of care that you want. There's lots of options.
Right. And while we're doing teeth and dental abnormalities, it is remarkable to me that things that just kind of come in waves and you see it in multiple breeds and base narrow, so like a narrow under jaw in which the little puppy canines, and I have even seen adult canines in the roof of a dog's mouth, seems to be a thing we see more of. And I know there's research being done on this, and I am impatiently waiting to find out about it.
Right.
Really impatiently. But talk a little bit about that and some of the things that people should not do. Should it be hysterical? Should it not be hysterical? What's your insight on that?
Sure. So the base narrow thing is definitely a thing. Typically what happens is that the lower jaw doesn't align correctly with the upper jaw. And so instead of the canine teeth interdigitating, so the upper incisor and the canine tooth should have the lower canine tooth in between them on both sides. And if that's not the case, then that means the dog's teeth are too close together and they're going to hit the roof of the mouth with their baby teeth and potentially with their adult teeth as well. And that's painful. Mm-hmm. And it can be corrected when these puppies are relatively young if you address it quickly enough. Sometimes ball therapy is enough, meaning teaching the puppy to walk around with a little tiny tennis ball in their mouth to spring those canines apart. Taking your thumb and snapping the tooth off is not acceptable. That's opening up the pulp canal. That's opening them up to an infection, all kinds of problems. And unfortunately, there are people who think that that's okay. They just snap it off. No, no, no. You need to see somebody. And there are also procedures that can be done that they put little extensions, crown extensions on the teeth, and that helps to wing them out and then put them in the right position so that their jaw has a chance to grow. And then when the adult teeth come in, they're less likely to be a problem. This is definitely a genetic concern. So if you have a dog with that, you want to be careful about what you do with that dog in a breeding program because it's likely to produce it. And we had at one point a client with quite a few dogs in their program, and we just said, you have to breed this out. Like, this is unacceptable for you to continue to have this many. Yes, we can fix it, but it's not the solution that you're looking for. A long-term solution is to change your breeding program. So be aware of that. And like, you've got to have an amazing dog if you're going to put that into a breeding program. If you're going to continue to use those two parents together, that's a bad idea. Use a different, doesn't mean your bitch or your dog have to be out of the program. It just means that combination is
in a different direction, right? And I think, like I said, I know there is research being done about this, and I've talked to, I've interacted with it myself. I have talked to other people about it. It's a thing, you know, and it's just more it was like for the people who have these pets, you know, what do they need to do? What is their concern, their level of concern? Because I think sometimes it can be managed in such a way that it is completely acceptable for the dog long term. Most of the ones that I've seen or encountered fix themselves on their own as they grow.
Right. But be really watchful, because if you're leaving the dog with that condition, it's painful. So, you know, just simply be aware of it. If you have a dog that's a brachycephalic, the shorter face dogs, they have a tendency to have a lot of dental crowding. Sometimes they need to have teeth extracted so that they have an opportunity for those teeth that are, because when we made dogs' faces shorter, we didn't make their teeth smaller. So as they were bred down in size, we have a lot of dogs that then come in with rotated premolars, the ones along the side. And so they, in order to fit, they can't line up the way they were supposed to. They have to shift into an angle. So those dogs are going to have increased chances of dental disease. There are puppies that don't lose their baby canine teeth, and those need to be extracted either at the time they're spayed or neutered, if you're doing it at that point, or at some point, so that they don't accumulate more tartar and have more dental disease and throw their alignment off. So there's a lot of things that your veterinarian should be looking at. So when you go in with your puppy for their puppy visit, your veterinarian, in addition to listening to their heart and checking for testicles and checking for hernias and all those things, should be looking at their teeth. So from very little on, you want to make sure all of your dogs, doesn't matter if it's a dog that you're just having as a pet dog or a dog that's a show dog, learns to have their mouth looked at, learns to have their mouth handled, that it's not painful. Teach your puppies to have their teeth brushed so that as they become mature, you can brush their teeth. And I'm going to tell you that a lot of people are unwilling or unable to brush their dog's teeth. And if you can start when they're young and you can keep them good at it, you probably don't have to brush them every single day if they're a one-year-old lab. But by the time they get to be older, you're going to need to have that ability to brush their teeth. I just throw a towel on my bed. My dog lays on one side. I brush her teeth. She rolls over to the other side. I brush the other side. Now, dogs have pointy molars. They don't have flat molars like you and I. So you don't have to open their mouth and brush the molars. You don't have to brush the inside of the teeth that their tongue touches. All you have to do is brush the teeth that are along the lips. And you don't have to open their mouth to do it. You can slide a toothbrush in just like when you do your own. You don't open your mouth and look at where you're putting your toothbrush, right? You know where the toothbrush is. And you can tell by feeling it. And the same with your dog, as you can learn by feel whether you're on the teeth or on the gums. So get them used to it with a plain brush, with water, and then move them to toothpaste. And I do want to mention some toothpaste.
I was just going there. Man, we are just too good.
We are aligned.
So toothpaste, there are, and again, I know we've touched on this in a previous episode, but I just think there are toothpaste that do some good, and there are some other dental hygiene products that I don't think we can say them too many times.
Right. So VOHS is the Veterinary Oral Health Information, and that should be on most of the dental products that you're using for your pet or that your veterinarian is selling. They're probably going to have a VOHS endorsement, which tells you that the veterinarians that do dental health have looked at these products and found them to be beneficial. So start off with that as a basic premise. The other basic premise is, I don't care what you think, brushing teeth is always the best. Water additives, chewy things, all the pet foods, all that stuff are never going to be as good as brushing your own teeth. When you go to the dentist, they don't go, just eat a piece of cheese, you'll be fine. No. You have to brush your teeth. And what else do they tell you? They tell you to floss. Now, I actually have one client who, her daughter could floss her cat's teeth. And honest to God, she did it on my exam table. I could tell you it happened.
I still believe that that's an AI generated.
No, she did it in front of me. This was 10 years before AI. So I'm not suggesting that you have to floss your pet's teeth. I am suggesting that brushing their teeth on the outer surface, which touch their lips, the upper and lower jaws, that's really important. You can buy a little light on Amazon that's an ultraviolet light. And if you illuminate your dog's teeth or your cat's teeth with it, it'll show up tartar as a bright orange color. And unless you're colorblind, red, green, colorblind, you can see it. And that's going to help you to know where to look. So the places that tartar accumulates the most are on those upper big, they're actually premolars, but a lot of people think they're molars because they're the biggest tooth that the dog has. If you look back there, you can see that there's a lot of tartar on that tooth because right above it is a salivary gland, and the salivary gland drips when they eat or salivate. And there's minerals in the salivary gland, just like there are in your faucet when you're drippy faucet. You know how you get those mineral deposits on your faucet? Same thing happens on the tooth. So those are the places you really need to focus. Now, you can use a VOHS toothpaste, or there's a new toothpaste that has come to market in the last year for humans. It's called Live Fresh, L-I-V, Fresh. I've seen it advertised on TV. I've seen it advertised on the internet. I've not seen it at any of the stores at retail, but you can either buy it from the Live Fresh website, or you can buy it from a lot of the online retailers like Amazon and Walmart and Walgreens. You can find it there. It comes in two flavors. It comes as a peppermint and as a wintergreen, and I've checked with the company, and there's no sweetener or any other product in it that's unsafe for your pet. So I've been using that on my dog, and I will tell you that it has EDTA in it, which chelates the calcium and helps to keep the calcium from accumulating. That's what's in tartar that makes the tartar hard that sticks to your tooth. And wow. I've started using it on myself, and I can tell that there's a huge difference in my oral health with that product. Wow. So I've been using it on my dog, my 12-year-old dog, because I've anesthetized her to do a spay and I cleaned her teeth at the same time, and I don't want to keep putting her under anesthesia. I am now using it on my own pets. So it's safe. It's fairly expensive for a tube. If you buy two or three at a time, it's a lot less expensive because of the volume discount. And it comes as this clear gel, and you don't need a lot. It doesn't foam. It has either peppermint or wintergreen flavor, and the pets don't object to it too much, but it's not foamy. And dogs and cats don't like foamy toothpaste. We do. Like, when I brush my teeth, I want it to feel like I've suds, and, you know, it's like putting dish soap in your soap. You want to see suds in your sink like it's working. Right. But pets don't like that foamy stuff, and this doesn't foam. You just need a little tiny dab of the gel. I have one tube for my dog, one tube for myself.
Tell me you have different toothbrushes. See, that's really the most important part.
Yeah, please don't share toothbrushes. Please don't. I've seen one client do that. Please don't. So, you know, just flop her on the bed, brush one side, roll her over, brush the other side. She's cooperative. She doesn't mind it. She gets off the bed. Everything's cool. So you can make this not an unpleasant situation for your pet. And if you really are adverse to having anesthesia and your pet's dental cleaning done every 6 to 12 months, then when they're little, teach them how to have their teeth brushed, get them accustomed to it when they're still young and they think it's fun and, you know, it's a game. And then you can give them a piece of cheese when you get done. But teach them this when they're young so that when they get to an age that they start to, most pets have dental disease, and typically it's the smaller breeds that have more dental disease than the large breeds, then get them used to their tooth being brushed so that when you come in, your vet says, wow, like, these teeth are really good. Like, are you brushing? I can tell who's brushing their dog's teeth and who's not. And I'll tell you what, the best owners for toothbrushing are not the dentists. They're the dental hygienists.
Oh,
the people who are dental hygienists do the best job taking care of their pet's teeth. They come in and I flip the lip. I'm like, ooh, you're doing
you
it.
Go.
You can tell me all day long you're brushing, but I can tell the difference, and so can your veterinarian. So don't think that you can fool us.
Don't cheat. Okay. All right. There you go. The only other thing, I have had a client dog, and again, I think I've mentioned this in the past, was a client dog. It was just a dog that just created more tartar than I've ever seen. Like, he just made tartar.
Yeah.
He just did. And I found chlorhexidine dental wipes that were just like a little cotton pad soaked in a proper solution of chlorhexidine for dental use. And those actually, those were super easy to use, and it really made a difference for that dog.
Right. Right. And chlorhexidine is one of the antibacterial products that we use when we rinse mouths after dental cleanings. They come in the little wipes, or you can just put toothpaste on a finger toothbrush. They make finger toothbrushes for infants and for pets. Those work really well, too. Chlorhexidine on the human side will discolor the enamel, but it does not appear to do that on dogs and cats. So if you're coming from the human side and saying, oh, I'm not doing that, then don't be concerned. We don't see that as an issue. But yes, anything you can do to improve your dog's oral health. I mean, if all you can do is a water additive or a chewy, that's better than nothing. But I'm going to tell you that it's not as good as you could do if you are truly devoted to keeping your pet off the dental hygienist's table on an annual basis. And it's kind of to that point. I have a colleague in California that they recommend dental cleaning starting at 1 year of age every single year. And I just think that if we can do a better job of teaching our pets to have their mouth handled, their teeth cleaned, their brushing done, that it's going to pay off in the long run. And so, you know, if you don't want to do it, okay, fine. Let your veterinarian charge you whatever they have to charge you on an annual basis to do it. But seriously, a tube of $20 gel toothpaste, if you can use that, three or four of those a year instead of $500,000, $1,200, whatever it is, depending on where you live, for dental cleaning. And it's healthier for your pet. You're never going from that really dirty tooth to a clean tooth. You never get to the point of having that really diseased or really dirty tooth. So you're going to have better dental retention as well. So I don't want to hear your sad story that it's not your fault, because you are in control of your dog's destiny. They're not. You know, it's like their weight. You control their weight. You control their dental health.
Yeah. 100%.
So, sorry, I'm going to sound a little preachy right here, but I hear it all day long.
It's okay. I've gotten yelled at. It's all good.
He won't let me. He won't let you what? You have the house payment, right?
You get to do it. Pay the bills. Therefore,
right.
It is. And I like to frame it as insisting. I just insist. I insist that we're going to do this.
But you can make it fun when they're little. You can start them off, get it
used to. It doesn't have to be a fight, but it also needs to be something. I insist we're going to do this, and we're going to figure out a way to get that done.
Yeah.
So
these are the rules.
Yep.
So if you have a big dog, figure out, do you back him into the corner and you straddle him? Do you lay him on the bed? What do you do? How many people does it take? But get him used to it and make it fun. You can end it with cheese. And cheese fixes a lot of bad things in the dog's world.
They really do forget about everything once they have the cheese. It's amazing. Yep.
Boom.
Exactly.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Marty, thank you so much. Pearly whites, everybody, brush your dog's teeth. Just saying. All right, Marty, have a good one. Happy Easter.
Thanks.
Thank you for joining us on the Marty and Laura Show. We're excited to bring you these unique, fun, fact-based conversations about pet health. From pro tips on selecting your new dog to what your cat's cough means and what you should do about it. We'll meet you wherever you are, in the car, on the treadmill, walking the dog, and we'll bring you a good laugh, a great story, and a bright idea every week. We hope you'll join us on social. Stop by the website to sign up for an extra tip of the week for your pet. While you're at it, do us a favor. Please, and leave a review wherever you find your podcasts. The Marty and Laura Show is produced by Pure Dog Talk, Inc. Sound design and editing by Premium Audio Services.